We'd like to welcome our worldwide radio audience to the regular worship of the Main Street Church of Christ. We'd especially like for you to continue to pray for worldwide Christian radio on twice every Sunday morning, broadcasting to Africa, Europe, South America, all of the Pacific. We are fixing to be picked up by Radio Madagascar that will give us three times. We're going to be on the air every Sunday morning. As y'all know, we have been studying the second coming of Christ. We spent several weeks on it. We'll be studying it again next week. Today, we're talking about the gospel and our resurrection and Jesus' resurrection. Turn with me in your Bibles to Job, the 19th chapter. Job has gone through all kinds of terrible things that has happened to him. He writes in Job 19, "Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven in an iron pen and lead in a rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth." And that word Redeemer is galal in Hebrew. It means to buy back. It's got the idea that I've taken my wedding ring and I've taken it over here to the pawn shop and I've hocked it, and the 30 days is up. What's the pawnbroker going to do? He say, we'll just give you another 30 days, Kelly. No, there's nothing colder than a pawnbroker. He's going to keep the ring. And so Jesus comes in with his own blood and buys the ring back, and he doesn't keep it. He gives it back to me. That's what he's done with our soul and with our salvation. Jesus is our Redeemer. He's bought us. "For you're not redeemed with perishable things such as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Christ," the Bible said. "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand." And that word there, stand, is cum, it's get up, stand up, raise up. Christ is going to be dead in the grave, and he's going to rise up the third day, and he shall stand in the latter day. And this term latter day means two things. It means the last days of the Jews, just before the cross and the coming change of the dispensation, the latter days of the Jews. But then the whole Christian age becomes known as the latter days, the last days. And so the last days, "and he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth." And Jesus did that in 30 A.D. when he rose from the dead. "And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Job knows there's going to be a resurrection. He's going to be raised in the flesh, and he's going to see God, "whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins or veins be consumed within me." Now, Job is probably writing one of the oldest books in the Bible. It was probably written 1700, 1800 B.C. Now, Isaiah is writing about 750 years before Christ, and he says in Isaiah 26, verse 19, "That dead man shall live together with my dead body," with Isaiah's dead body, "shall they arise, awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead." There's going to be a resurrection of the dead, and it's going to take place when Christ comes again. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 2 and 3, Daniel is written about 500 years before Christ. "And as many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." I want you to notice that everlasting life is just as long as everlasting shame and contempt. So if you go with the sheep, you got everlasting life. If you go with the goats, you've got everlasting contempt forever and ever and ever. This hell is not a halfway house. It's not a halfway house. You can't go there and make parole and get out of hell. It's forever and ever and ever and ever. Now, thank goodness there's different degrees of it. Jesus said some will be beat with many stripes and some with few stripes. I don't want to be beat with any stripes, do you? I don't want to be beat with any stripes. So let's don't go there, okay? Jesus said in John 11, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Let's go back to Daniel. I didn't finish that verse. Some shall awake to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise, wise up, guys, shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. In John 11, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? When darkness falls upon the day of life, and when death is come, then people gather around the grave. It is to this chapter that we're fixing to study where people turn and people's highest hopes. The Christian gospel promise of eternal life is shown forth in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter we're going to study today. Light from this chapter dispels the darkness and surrounds the grave. Its message reassures the sorrowful and redefines the meaning of life itself, and writes upon the tomb the blessed words, asleep in Jesus. It speaks at every Christian funeral in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. It's rather tragic that the Corinthians required that someone remind them of the fundamental facts of the Christian gospel at a time so soon after they heard it and they obeyed it and were enjoying the blessings of salvation derived from it. Isn't that awful that people can so quickly forget how they've been bought with a price? 1 Corinthians 15:2. By which also you're saved, if you keep in memory that which I preached unto you. What if you don't? Unless you believed in vain. Verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. Verse 4. That he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. What does it mean according to the Scriptures? What Scripture? Well, there are over 300 scriptures that foretold the coming of Jesus Christ. There are prophecies, over 300 prophecies foretold his coming. Let's just look at a couple of them. In Psalms 2, verse 6, no matter if they kill the Christ, that's the context, back verse 1 through verse 5, if they kill the Christ, no matter what the enemies of God do, in murdering the Messiah, yet, God says, yet have I set my king. This Christ is going to be a king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. So the result of Christ being murdered is that no matter whether they murder him or not, God is going to set him as a king upon the holy hill of Zion, and he is going to be ruler of the uttermost parts of the earth. In Psalms chapter 22, verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then the fulfillment of that in the New Testament, and there was darkness over the whole land from the sixth hour until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The very words of Jesus hanging on the cross are quoted here in this psalm 1,000 years before Jesus was ever born. Psalms 22, verse 16, for dogs have compassed me. That's a slang word. Caleb is a Hebrew word. It's a slang word. It means a male prostitute. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. Here we have a picture of the crucifixion of Christ written 750 years before he was ever born. And crucifixion won't be invented until 500 B.C. This is written 250 years before crucifixion was ever invented. It's like a picture of the electric chair before electricity is invented. What is the result of them piercing his hands and feet? Well, they crucified him naked upon a cross. Wicked people always want to do wicked things. They part my garments among them and cast lots for my vesture. And of course, if you want to go read in Matthew 26, you'll find that it fulfilled that they took Jesus' garments. They said, and the coat was woven from the top throughout. And they said, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be. Isaiah, writing 750 years before Christ was born, in Isaiah 53, verse 8. Now, the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We learned that in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Say it with me. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. The threefold gospel. Death, burial, and resurrection. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 8, He, Jesus, was taken from prison and from judgment. Pilate sat on the judgment seat. And who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off out of the land of the living. He's killed in verse 8. He's cut off out of the land of the living. What for? For the transgression of my people was He stricken. And they made His grave with the wicked. And there was two thieves crucified with Him. One on the right hand and one on the left. They made His grave with the wicked. And with the rich man in his death, Joseph of Arimathea, a rich man, Matthew 27, verse 50, went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And with the rich in his death, because he has done no violence, neither is any deceit in his mouth. Now he's killed in verse 8. They made his grave with the wicked in verse 9. He's buried in verse 9. Now verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, He, God, shall see His seed, and that word means child. He'll see His child and do what? Prolong His day. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. Eyewitnesses attested to the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. He was seen by the apostles and over 500 eyewitnesses, the Bible tells us. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5, that He was seen of Cephas and then of the 12. And after that, He was seen above 500 brethren at once, probably in Galilee, of whom the greater part remain until the present. Paul's writing about 50 A.D., but some are asleep, some have already died. Verse 7, and after that, He was seen by James, his brother, who wrote the book of James. Then all of the apostles. Verse 8. And last of all, He was seen of me also as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, and I am not meant, means worthy, to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Paul was the biggest scoundrel in killing Christians. He was the head prosecutor in killing Christians, and he was converted and made the greatest of apostles. God can do anything with you. God can do anything with you if you're willing to change and do things His way and not be stubborn and want to do things your way. Verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Verse 11, therefore, whether it were I or they, so preach, so we preach, and so we believe. Of all the apostles, no matter who preached to you or who taught you the same thing because they all believed and taught the same thing. Oh, Lord, if it could only be so today. They wouldn't be Baptists and Methodists and Lutherans and Episcopalians and Protestants and Catholics. They'd just be Christian, like it was supposed to be. You know, in the beginning, there was the church. If you could just imagine in your mind the first guy who built a car. And I come up to him and I say, "Oh, that looks neat. What is that, man?" He says, "That's a car." And I say, "What kind of car is it?" "Well, it ain't a kind of car. It's the car. There ain't another car. It's the one and only car." Now, since then, men have made manufacturing companies, and they build Fords, and they build General Motors, and they build Chryslers, and they build Plymouths, and they build all kinds of cars. But in the beginning, it wasn't that way. In the beginning, it was just the car. Now, that's what we in the Church of Christ try to go back to, the kind of church it was in the beginning, the one that originally began. That's what we want to be. We want to be the church, not some kind of church. Now, Jesus, praying about that the night before he was murdered, in John 17:20, says, "Neither pray I for these alone, for the apostles, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." You and I believe because the apostles wrote down Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and the letter of the Romans. They wrote down the New Testament. That's why we believe. If there wasn't a New Testament, we wouldn't even know what to believe. We couldn't have passed it on by word of mouth. It was the only way it could be done right, and that was be to write it down. So Jesus said he's praying for those who believe on me through their word. Look at verse 21. "That they all may be 500 different denominations." That's not what that says, is it? "That they all may be" what?
One.
"As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that thou also may be one in us." Why? Tells you right there. "That the world may believe that thou hast sent me." Why doesn't the world believe? Because there's all these different kinds of churches. And you go to one of them, and you ask them, "What I have to do to be saved?" And they said, "Oh, come right down here and say the sinner's prayer." And you go to another and you say, "What I have to do to be saved?" And they say, "Oh, you got to pray your way through." And then you go to another and you say, "What do you have to do to be saved?" And they say, "Oh, well, you sprinkle some water on you and that'll get it done." And then you go to another and they say, "Well, you got to come in here dressed like a chicken." Yeah. I mean, they got every idea in the world of what it is that you have to do. If you can find a sinner's prayer in this Bible, I'll eat it right now in front of you. If you can find it. If you can find an example of any Christian praying their way through in this Bible, I'll eat it right now in front of you. If you find any example of sprinkling water on people and them being saved, I'll eat this Bible right now. It's not in there. Jesus said, "In vain do they worship me, teaching for their doctrine the traditions of men." Vain means no worship at all. Why in the world would men dream up these things? Well, it's called the God Almighty what? Dollar. Yes, they might do it for money. Yeah. Peter says, "While they promise him liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption." They don't have liberty to give you. "For I'm the least of the apostles." Verse 10. "But by the grace of God I am that I am, that his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was in me." Paul did more work than all the other apostles put together. He carried the gospel to all the known world at that time, while they mainly preached to Jews in the beginning. And then finally they broke up and went to all the world. But in the beginning he carried the gospel to all the Gentile nations. He went to Greece, he went to Turkey, he went to Mesopotamia, to Crete. He went to Rome, all the way to Rome, to the capital of the world. Paul also beseeches that we be one in 1 Corinthians 1:10. "I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. There be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, the same judgment." 1 Corinthians 15:12. there's a Judaizing Sadducee teacher at Corinth that's teaching false religion. Verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you, this Judaizing teacher, that there is no resurrection of the dead? We'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. There's all kinds of sermons and a cappella singing and all kinds of things on that website. Verse 12, and if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you, there is no resurrection of the dead, this Sadducee teacher. And if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Paul takes a negative argument. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith also in vain. It would follow that preaching was useless, and it would mean that our faith was worthless. Verse 15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if they had rise not. How in the world could these cowards all die a martyr's death for a lie? Some men will die for a lie if they don't know it's a lie. You see that with terrorists all over the world. They put on an explosive belt and they go blow themselves up. And by the way, I want you to know that if there's ever any trouble at this church, everybody just throw a psalm book at them and lay down in your seat, because there are police officers hidden here among us, and let them police officers shoot them and take care of them. Don't you worry, there are police officers or security people. It's not just the cop that we have out front. We have security in here sitting right among you that are well, well qualified to take care of you, to protect you. So don't you worry about a nut coming here, because I can't think of a nut having a quicker way to go meet Jesus than to come to the Main Street Church of Christ and act up. And so that I want you to know that you're safe here. And listen, we love everybody. How in the world can people do stuff like that? I'm an old gangster. And back in my day, it was dishonorable to hurt innocent people. I mean, no gangster I ever knew in my life would hurt the innocent women and kids and stuff like that. Why, it was just totally out of bounds. And people now go nuts in shows. They go nuts everywhere. And it's designed to scare people and to keep people at home. And they're not going to scare us, because we just got more people for security. Don't worry about it, because we'll certainly take care of it. Besides armed security, we got bouncers here. Big Augie Moose and Grabber will take care of them too. And so don't you worry about that. If they need bouncing around, we know how to do it. Verse 16, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. Verse 17, if Christ be not raised, your faith's in vain, and you're yet in your sins. It would deny all possibility of salvation, because the plan of God was to save people by the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's taught all the way through the Bible from Genesis 3:15 on. It is taught throughout the entire Bible. There's one way of salvation, and that is through Jesus Christ. Everybody who lived prior to the cross that's going to be saved or saved by looking forward in faith to the cross. Everybody that's lived after the cross that's going to be saved are saved by looking back in faith to the cross. One way of salvation. Verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, then we are of all men most miserable. It would mean that the suffering and the privation of the apostles were vain and useless. Verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of those that are asleep. Paul just can't contain himself. He couldn't wait to the conclusion of his argument, but dogmatically declares the truth of the resurrection. But now is Christ risen from the dead, he said, and become the first fruits of them that sleep. First fruits are the proof of a coming great harvest. The following is an illustration of the reasonableness of the doctrine of the resurrection, introduced parenthetically from verse 20 through verse 28, as Paul often does in his writings. Christ is the second Adam, and as death came to all through one person, Adam, it is fitting that the resurrection would be coming to all through one, which is Christ. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. There's an order to the resurrection, and now the order of the resurrection is given. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, and afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. When is our resurrection going to take place of our bodies? Let's talk a second about our soul. When you die, your soul goes to be with God. And so the somuticus man, the soul of man, goes to be with God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Your soul goes to be with God. But at the second coming of Christ, God is going to raise the body. How can he do that? We studied last week. The earth is going to give up its dead. The sea is going to give up its dead. People that were eaten by lions, those atoms are going to become them again. Don't you worry, the same God that said, let there be light, is well able to raise up you a body. And he's going to raise you up a perfect body. He's going to reunite it with your soul, with your spirit, and we're going to be just like Jesus, we're going to see. But every man his own order, Christ the first fruits, and afterwards the other Christ that is coming. Verse 24. Then cometh the end, when he will have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. Then he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. Then cometh the end, at the very end of time, whenever that is. As wicked as the world is today, it could be right now, this very minute. It could be 1,000 years from now. We don't know. Have y'all heard about the Planned Parenthood and the babies and stuff? There was a company that a guy formed a company, newspaper reporters formed a company, and they went to Planned Parenthood and said, we want to grow replacement hearts for people. We're scientists and we want to grow hearts. We want to grow eyeballs. We want to grow lungs. We want to grow livers. We want to grow replacement parts, and it's going to be in the future. This is cutting edge science, and what we want you to do is sell us the aborted baby parts, and we'll put them in this growth solution, and we'll grow hearts and replacement hearts and replacement lungs. And they filmed these people over 3 years. Now, this is against the law to do this. Totally against the law to do this. And this doctor was talking about how, well, we're really good at that. We can crunch high and save the hearts and the lungs, and then we can crunch low. And she uses the word crunch. It's just like the Nazis. You know, the Nazis took the Jews and they said, put the women and the children and the old people to the right and the healthy people that can work to the left. And they said, these people that are to the right are for special treatment. You know what special treatment meant? It meant you got gassed right away and then burned in the ovens. Wicked people invent words that make things like they're right. Did y'all know this was going on? This is horrible. It ought to let you know that we're getting close to the end of time. Then cometh the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom of God. Now, what is the kingdom of God? The church, the people of God, even the Father, when he has put down all rule and all authority and all power. Christ reigns as a king now. Psalms 110, verse 1. And the Lord said now to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool. The Lord has sworn, and he will not be a repent. He's a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And then to prove he's a king, in Acts chapter 2, verse 30, therefore being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. 1 Corinthians 15:27. For he has put all things under his feet. And when he said he has put all things under him, it is manifest that he, God, me has accepted, which did put all things under him. 28. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall a son also himself be subject to him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there be one kind of flesh, another flesh of beast, another of fish, another of birds. There's different kinds of flesh. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 40, there is also celestial bodies and also bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. So there are different kinds of bodies and there are going to be different kinds of bodies in the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 41, based on works, there's going to be different rewards, in other words. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. So there's different kinds of splendor, different degrees of splendor in the resurrection. And these different degrees of splendor is going to be based on the rewards that Christians get, because there will be a judgment of rewards in which we'll be judged and given rewards based on our works. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, and for one star differs from another star in glory. 1 Corinthians 15:42. So also the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Our body is put in ground in corruption. It's going to rot, and it's going to raise in incorruption. It'll never rot. It's described as incorruptible. It's sown in dishonor and raised in glory. It's sown in weakness and raised in power. It's described as glorious and powerful. 1 Corinthians 15:44. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body. There is a spiritual body. It is described as being spiritual. Christ is the second Adam. 1 Corinthians 15:45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening, that's life-giving spirit. The last Adam, Christ, is made a life-giving spirit. You want to live forever? Then you're going to have to come to Christ. It is like the risen body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 15:46. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. At the resurrection, we're going to have a spiritual body. The first man of the earth, earthly, the second man is the Lord from heaven. Verse 48, as is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. And as are the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. So you need to start acting like you're heavenly. Verse 49, and we have borne the image of the earthly, and we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Romans chapter 5, verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Paul is talking about God did this fair. God is a straight shooter. God did this fair. If it was fair because of Adam, one man, Adam, everybody becoming sinners. Then on the other hand, it's fair because of Christ, everybody being made righteous. God did it fair. The scales balance. God is a good God. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Now, you remember we studied last week in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all His holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And they shall be gathered together before Him, all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. The coming of Christ is all one event. How many of you have heard of a rapture? Y'all heard about a rapture? Left Behind series? All that books, it's all written and everything? Everybody's heard about the rapture. There's no such thing. There's no such thing. There's no get out of jail free cards. There's no such thing as rapture. There's not, it's a word that's not even found in the Bible. There's no such thing as rapture. When is the end? John chapter 6, verse 40. And I will raise him up at 7 years before the end, the last day. I will raise him up the last day. Now, we're going to study this rapture next week. That all came from a guy that, I don't know what kind of pipe he had back in 1831, but they were smoking some real good stuff back then to come up with that, because there's no such thing found in the Bible. And so he, some way, this lady Pendergast or whatever her name was, I don't remember it now, rich widow gave him a bunch of money, and he came up with this idea, oh, there's going to be a rapture. The Lord's going to come and take all the good people 7 years before the end of the world. Why would he do that? Why would he take the salt out of the earth? Why would he take the light out of the world? Ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Why would he do that? Did he take the Christians out of the Colosseum in Rome before they were eaten by lions? No. Why would he do that? It don't make sense. Not only is it not biblical, the Bible says plainly that the resurrection takes place at the last day. And this catching up, it's in 1 Thessalonians 4, we're going to study next week. Resurrection taking place right there at the same time. And that's what we're going to read about right here. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all His holy angels with Him, then will He sit upon the throne of His glory. There's one second coming of Christ coming, and that's all. He just going to come once, and that's going to be the big kahuna right there. It's going to be the end. The second coming of Christ is one event. And then shall be gathered together before Him all nations, and He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from his goats. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50, Paul begins to deal with the idea, well, what if I'm alive? What if He comes back today? What's going to happen to us? We're not dead yet. And that Thessalonian verse says the dead will go first. We're going to study next week. So it's got to be the last day if the dead go first. If He raises the dead and the dead go first, it's got to be the last day. So what about if I'm alive and Christ comes? Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. Mysterios is a Greek word. It means something that has never before been revealed in Scripture. This is the first time that this has ever been revealed in Scripture. We shall not all sleep. We won't all die. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, at a twinkling of an eye, it's going to be just like that. And when's it going to happen? At the last trump. Now, if it's the last trump, there's not another trump, is there? And if it's the last day, then there's not another day, is there? And if it's the resurrection, there's not another resurrection, is there? Don't be stupid. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, just a split second, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised. It's got to be the last day. And I will raise him up at the last day, the Bible says. And Jesus, what we studied last week, said, don't marvel at this. The hour is coming when all they that are in the grave shall hear his voice and rise. The last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We're going to be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Here, death is personified. Back in the 1930s, teenagers would swallow goldfish. Did y'all know that? That was a big deal to them. You know, when I was a teenager, I had a black t-shirt and a motorcycle jacket and blue jeans and duck tails and a Harley Davidson. And that was a deal. Well, them other guys back before that, they swallowed goldfish. Here, Paul personifies death and says it's just going to be swallowed right up, just like you'd swallow a goldfish. Death is going to be swallowed up. There ain't going to be no death. When this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass as the saying is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Victory, 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 victory. We're going to live forever. We're going to have victory over death. Verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. See how much he loves us to call us that? Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew not him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear at his second coming, when he shall appear, what? When he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, how was he when he appeared? Let's go back to Luke chapter 24 and see how he was. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Shalom, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and frightened, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands, my feet, it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have you here any meat? And they gave him a piece of boiled fish and of honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? We're going to be raised in a bodily form. Now, I don't know what that means. I don't know how he was. But I know he could eat fish and honeycomb. And so that means I'm going to get a luau at Waikiki Beach, man. I'm going to get to eat. I'm going to get to enjoy strawberries and pineapple and all that other stuff. 1 John 3, verse 2 again. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear that what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We're going to be like him, whatever that meant. We don't know how he materialized right there in that room. They were in a room, a locked room. We don't know how he did that. Wonderful. We call that a glorified body. And so because of that, 1 John 3:3, and every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. And I'm telling you, the preaching of the word will drive them out of here if they ain't pure. And they don't want to be pure. 1 Corinthians 15:56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The practical application of the doctrine of the resurrection is it places a Christian in a position of strength, the great victory already having been won. Jesus has already won the victory. We don't have to have him win anything. Verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. What is the work of the Lord? For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the work of the Lord. What is the work of the Lord? John 6:29. When Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. All Christians need to be involved in the work of the Lord right this very minute. What is the work of the Lord? Believing on him whom he has sent. If you believe the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you're ready to repent of your sins. That means change your ways. You're sorry for your sins. You're ready to confess Christ as Lord. Be baptized into Christ. If you have sin in your life, you need the help of the church and prayers of the church. Won't you come now while we stand and sing?